Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Well, you know why nobody ever invites me to sing, but that's a good song. You've probably heard it before. If you haven't, then the main thing is that you understand the theme, the wonderfulness of the family of God. And that's really what Peter's talking about in the closing two verses of his first epistle. He helps us to properly understand and appreciate the family of God. In verse 12, the one we've already covered, he talks about Silvanus, the courier, and probably the amanuensis, the secretary, who penned the epistle that Peter dictated. But in the last two verses, verses 13 and 14, he comes to personal greetings and a final benediction. And in doing so, he talks about four levels of relationships within the family of God. The family of God relationships are the closest ties upon the earth, and we need to understand that and cultivate that and embrace that and act accordingly. In this wonderful family of God, of which we have been made a part, if we have been saved by the blood of Christ. There are really four levels. What are they? Number one, relationships between sister churches. Number two, between distant individuals. Number three, within local churches. And number four, among the entire people of God. Peter talks about all of those in the closing two verses of his epistle. And as we study these verses, I think you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about and will greater appreciate what God has done in placing believers in Jesus Christ into the family of God. Thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, August 13. Many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. Well, first of all, the relationships that we have between sister churches. One of the areas that we probably don't appreciate nearly as much as we should. But verse 13 opens by saying, "She who is in Babylon, elect, together with you, greets you, and so does Mark my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen." Now back to the beginning of verse 13. She who is in Babylon greets you. Who is that? She who is in Babylon. Who is she? Is this Peter's wife? He had one, you know. The Bible talks about his mother-in-law in Mark chapter 1, verse 30. And Paul makes reference to the fact that Cephas leads around a wife. Paul doesn't, because Paul doesn't have one. And he makes an important point in 1 Corinthians 9:5 regarding that very thing. But Peter brings his wife with him on his apostolic travels. You may not have thought of that before. There's not a lot of reference to it in the scriptures, but that, in fact, is the case. And therefore, Peter had a wife, and is that who he's talking about when he says, "She who is in Babylon greets you"? Or rather than Peter's wife, is this a reference to some unnamed prominent Christian woman. Some people think that's who John is talking about in the second epistle of John, verses 1 and 13. He's referring to a prominent Christian woman. Now, that may not be the best explanation for that phrase, but that's the one that many people give. When John says in 2 John 1, "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth." And then he says in verse 13, "The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen." That sounds very much like the language we find here in Peter. "She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you." Is that who Peter's talking about? Not his wife, but some unnamed prominent Christian woman. Or is he talking about the local church where Peter resides and worships and fellowships in the location that he's writing this letter from? Literally, what this says is not "she who is in Babylon," but "the one who is in Babylon," co-elect. The one. Because it's a feminine article, we know he's talking about a woman. He's talking about a she. So it's a good translation that we have before us here. But we're trying to identify this person that is referred to as "she who is in Babylon." Who is she? And where is she, by the way? Oh, you say that's the easy part. She's in Babylon. Yes. But is this Babylon? Is this Rome being referred to as Babylon in some kind of typology, or is this someplace else? Now, some people who are very adamant about always choosing the most literal interpretation that the language will allow are insistent that this has to be the Babylon in Mesopotamia, the city of Babylon. But there are problems with that understanding. Number one, there's no record of any church in Babylon unless this is the record. Number two, there is no record, there is no historical record or even historical tradition, not even a tradition of Peter traveling to the city of Babylon. Now we know that these traditions sometimes are very helpful, very true. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they are embellished. Sometimes people make up stories. You would think with this statement here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, this reference to Babylon, that somebody in ancient times would have come up with some story about Peter traveling to Babylon, but there is nothing. Total silence. Furthermore, the city of Babylon in the days that Peter wrote was in severe decline. It was virtually a ghost town. It was a ghost town in AD 115, and that's not too much later. And that, according to Trajan, which is pretty good historical evidence. And that is exactly what was prophesied for Babylon by the prophet Jeremiah. You do remember that, don't you? In Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 39 and 40, we read the following. Jeremiah 50, 39, about Babylon, the city of Babylon. "Therefore the wild desert beasts shall dwell there with the jackals, and the ostriches shall dwell in it. It shall be inhabited no more forever." No more forever. "Nor shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors, says the Lord, so no one shall reside there, nor son of man dwell in it." That's what Jeremiah said was the future of the city of Babylon, and that was well on the way to being fulfilled in the days of Peter. So could Peter be writing in residing in that location and writing from that location? When he says, she who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, could he be referring to the church in this kind of language, calling her a she, which I think is probably what John is doing in the references that I read a moment ago in 2 John. Is that what Peter is saying here? I don't think so. I don't think so. I really don't. And furthermore, if you try to pick out another location in the world that has the name Babylon, that's not this one in Mesopotamia, as, for example, a Babylon in Egypt, there is one, but that's a problem. Or to consider that Egypt is called Babylon in a prophetic, typological sort of way. There are problems with that. I think it's very likely, really now, that Peter is writing from Rome. There is credible historical evidence for Peter being in Rome at this very time. And after all, in the book of Revelation, Babylon is closely linked to Rome. Check it out. Revelation 16, 19, 17, 5, 18, 2. Babylon in Revelation is a name that is a symbol for the world systems, for evil, for persecution, for exile. And Peter is writing to persecuted Christians. And when he says, she who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, he could be saying nothing more than, she who is in the world, fighting the world systems, fighting the evils of the world, fighting the persecutions of the world, she who is living like an exile in a world that is hostile to her, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. In other words, she could very well be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, living in typological Babylon, living in the world. That's really the way Peter opens his epistle, with that kind of sentiment. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. And he goes on. And now he closes his epistle. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you. That could very well be the Christians who are in the place where Peter is writing from, probably Rome, and he is characterizing their location as Babylon. What ties them together? She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, or co-elect with you. What ties them together? God's gracious choice ties together all the people of God. When you realize that you are a Christian because of God's gracious choice, God chooses his bride. God chooses his family. I don't choose it. God does. I don't get to choose my brothers and sisters in Christ. I just recognize the ones that God has chosen, and recognize the great privilege to have been chosen myself and placed in the family of God. And I'm grateful to be there, and I'm grateful to honor those that God has chosen. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.